This lesson actually came from 2012, August 26, 2012, first time I gave it. Where is God in Proverbs? This is a topical study, so there's no one reference. So how do we get to this question? This comes from Derek Kidner's book, Proverbs, an Introduction and Commentary. So this, he calls this topic in his book, God and Man. So he opens this way. When we open the book of Proverbs at random and take samples of its wisdom, we may gain the impression that its religious content is thin and indefinite. Many of its maxims and theological assertions would translate into non-Israelite, non-biblical soil. And we are tempted to ask whether anything as specific as a covenant relationship with God is presupposed here in the book of Proverbs, he means. A hostile reader might go even further and ask whether the real God and master in this book is not man himself, and the real goal, prosperity. Right? So he's not taking that position. He's saying this is what some critic might say about the book of Proverbs. And so here's a couple of examples. I don't know if you can read those. I was fiddling with the fonts, and they're a little bit small. Can you read that in the back, okay? Those with old eyes? The young guys, I'm sure you're doing good. But all right, so a man will be... So this is Proverbs 12:8. A man will be praised according to his insight, but one of perverse mind will be despised. Okay, so that's a proverb. So basically, a wise man will be praised, and a perverse man will be despised. Now, can we say that of, you know, any culture in the world? Could they say that? They don't have to be Christians to say something like that, right? Okay, so the same in this next one, Proverbs 29:24. He who is a partner with a thief hates his own life. He hears the oath but tells nothing. Okay, so people in general, even if they're not Christians, they're generally against thieves. Right? They don't like, especially when the thieves steal from them. So this is a proverb that could easily, if you just take it out of the book of Proverbs and just use it as a maxim, people will agree with it. I thought of another example I often used in my real estate business, and it was a little way to try to get a little Bible into the conversation when I was selling real estate. And we were talking about negotiations, and people would be criticizing this house that they were looking at, and I'd say, well, just remember, the proverb says, it is not, saith the buyer, but when he goeth his way, he boasteth. Like, what a good deal I got. You know, they want them, when they're negotiating, they're putting it down. And everybody in the world understands that. You know, they don't have to have a Christian conscience to get what that means. So what are we going to say about this? There are many other proverbs like this. And we can't just simply say, well, Proverbs says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and that settles it. Because the Proverbs does say that. It says it several times. But Kidner says that even that argument could itself be a mere counsel of prudence, a crowning example of a policy cultivating the powers that be. All right, so... It might be, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Well, yeah, that's a good idea. If there's somebody in power, you don't want to get into trouble with them. Christy.
Well, that first one up there, like, it seems like that is when a culture or a society is behaving in an upright way. But, like, if you think about today, or, like, the times of Sodom, or the times
yes.
of Noah, it seems like so many people are perverse, and they're generally not despised by a lot of people. Could it be that it's God will praise the person according to his insight, and will despise the person?
I think what we're saying is this. It's a general statement. It can be used by somebody who's not a believer. So they may define perverse differently than you will. Okay? But generally speaking, anybody could use this statement. That's the idea. Like it's not exclusively Christian or even Israelite. Of course, we have a Christian context. These are written in an Israelite context. So it's not exclusively written, this one, by itself. You take it out of the whole context. Taking it out of the context, it's not exclusively religious. Gordon.
I don't understand what's wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it. But see, people can attack Proverbs. This is what he's saying. People can attack Proverbs. Well, it's just really a human book. It's just a collection of human wisdom. It's not really inspired. Okay, so that's the issue. Is this really inspired or not? Is this God's wisdom? Or is it just common sense? Right? See, so that's the thing that we want to wrestle with. And we're basically trying to get at a theology of Proverbs in this lesson. Okay, yes, Cal.
I was just thinking again, I don't know who the author of Proverbs is.
Right.
Probably several. But when I think of the Apocrypha, there's a book in Apocrypha which basically is the same sort of thing, but it's not considered to be inspired. And I don't know how you get from.
Right.
They're both saying roughly the same thing.
Right.
Right,
so that's a good question. So there's a book in the Apocrypha that is essentially the same kind of literature as Proverbs, but we don't hold the Apocrypha to be inspired. Now, when we're talking about this wisdom, and it is, I think it's an important question, we're not saying, let me put it this way, we're not saying that, again, that Solomon authored every one of these Proverbs. He borrowed from other people and put them into his book, and the Jews kept it as a holy book. Okay? And so it is, we receive it then, because we received the Old Testament from the Jews, we receive it as inspired by God. But there's a couple things we have to do with Proverbs. We have to understand the nature of the proverb. It's not an absolute truth. Generally speaking, you can find imperatives in there that are absolute statements. You can find that, but it's not, generally speaking, a proverb is not an absolute truth. And it reflects God's wisdom. But some of this wisdom is just the kind of wisdom that they will have in the world as well. Besides the Apocrypha, there are other books. There's Egyptian books, there's Greek books that are collections of wise sayings. But we don't invest in them the same level of inspiration because it wasn't preserved in this one book that was we'll use the term collated or collected by Solomon, for the most part. There may have been a little bit that was added in by the men of Hezekiah added in some other collections of Solomon. We know that for sure. So overall, I hold Solomon to be responsible for, I'd say, 99% of the book of Proverbs. Okay? Whether he wrote it all or not, he was responsible for putting it together. Okay, but that is the question. That's what we're trying to wrestle with. How do we deal with this, comparing it with other books of wisdom and so forth? Okay, so yes?
Well, I think for one reason or another, some people just don't have common sense. And perhaps
really?
True.
True.
And they didn't have guidance in their life for one reason or another.
Yes.
And so I think this is a very good book to have to provide that kind
Absolutely.
Of wisdom and
it is.
Guidance. And I see it as inspired of God.
Right, I do as well. Okay, so it is inspired and it is made profitable for us. You want to make sure I say that. Yes, I believe it's inspired by God. Okay, but what we're touching on here is a little bit of the nature of inspiration. And there is, in this book, there is some evidence of collection of wise sayings that weren't, you know, it wasn't a prophet just said this. Solomon read it or heard it and he put it in his book and then God has blessed it by keeping it in the canon. And that makes it inspired. Alright, so Cal.
Yeah, just so that can we track that through that Solomon asked God for wisdom and knowledge.
Yes.
And by his collection, he gave his stamp of approval based on the knowledge and wisdom God has.
All right, I think that's a good way to put it. So Solomon asked God for wisdom and knowledge, and then by God answering that prayer to Solomon, he passes that on to us. And so I think that's a good way of looking at it. Okay, Lee?
And if he didn't write it, he was a man of great wisdom. He would also be able to recognize and see that.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. So that's the whole process. All right. So let's see. So the way this works in Kidner's essay on this is he starts with morality in the book of Proverbs. And he moves from there to a close personal relationship with God before letting us get back into our day-to-day lives. So the first thing, I'm not going to give you the main point. You see the two brackets are empty right now. So we're going to talk about this example. Kidner says, the moral factors always take precedence. To be sure, Proverbs is concerned to point out what is right and what pays may travel long distances together. Let me read that again. To be sure, Proverbs is concerned to point out that what is right and what pays may travel long distances together, but it leaves us in no doubt which we are to follow when their paths diverge. So here's an example. There's these two proverbs. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. All right, so we need to understand the word gift here as money. Now, when we... I have heard people talk about this verse, and they all talk about how, well, you know, if somebody has a lot of talent, you know, they get to, you know, play before crowds. Okay? Or they get to play before the prime minister or whatever. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about money. Alright? So, let's read the next one. Proverbs 17:23, a wicked man receives a bribe from the bosom to pervert the ways of justice. Now that bribe, what does that involve? Money. Okay? So, obviously, there's something wrong. If a guy is bribing an official, that's wrong. Okay? That's the second proverb. But if a man's gift, his money, makes room for him and brings him before great men, what about that one? All right? Yes?
Bribe is not only money.
Oh yes, I know it's not only money. It could be, but we're going to keep it in the context of money because the first one is in money. Okay, if you can bribe with other things as well.
Yeah.
Yes, there's lots of favors and all kinds of things. Yeah. All right, so Lola.
Yes, this question: why can't the first one be talents as
well? Well, because the word is the Hebrew word speaks about money, so it's definitely a reference to money. Okay, Christy.
Well, it seems to point to the sin nature that people are attracted to wealth and...
Yes, yes. Okay, let's put it this way. Is there a scenario in which 1810 could be a wise way to proceed with a government official, but it's not a bribe?
1816.
1816. I can't even see. The letters are too small. I made them too small for even myself. Okay?
Can we ask the question?
Okay, so a man's gift makes room for him, his money, makes room for him, and brings him before a great man. Is there a way that this can be just prudent wisdom in dealing with government officials? Is there a way that that could be a legitimate thing to do? Rob?
Yeah. Well, I think so. I mean, I knew a guy many years ago in Saskatoon, a friend of mine's got, made a significant donation to a particular fellow running for office. He didn't expect anything from it. He just supported the fellow. Now, the other side was, this guy then met with him and said, what do you want for this money? He was very offended. I didn't give you that money for any favors.
Right. So is it okay to donate money to a political campaign?
Yes.
Okay. Now, people who donate to campaigns or contribute in some way towards a public project, they often gain influence. So if you're... So there's a fine line here. If you're trying to corrupt the system, and you're trying to pervert justice, that's what? That's a bribe. But if you're in the normal course of affairs, you know, you want an audience with the king, so you, okay, what do I have to do? I'll build the royal memorial, whatever. That's a, you know, I mean, it's sort of, I just want to talk to you, right? I want to influence you. So there's a certain wisdom in that that isn't necessarily evil. All right, so I've got three hands here. Maureen's first. She's going to make sure she's first.
Well, I think you can see it today not so much in maybe the political sphere as in university endowments or in the states, like private hospitals that are built in the name of somebody, so somebody's given a lot of men. So then you might see in the dedication of the hospital or whatever, there's a lot of important people that are gathered.
That's right. You get influence. You get your positions across.
It's not an evil
It's not a bribe, but it's a means of trying to influence policy. All right, so let's see. I think Lee is next, and then Colin.
Maybe you brought this up, but even in Proverbs 17 or 17:8, a present is a precious stone in the eyes of its possessor. Whoever he turns, he prospers, or wherever he turns, he prospers.
Yeah.
That present is talking about a bribe.
It could be.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a what we're saying is a fine line here. Okay, Colin, you want to add something?
Yeah, I just think like in 1816, he brings him before great men. That's not a condemnation.
No, it's not a condemnation.
You know, it's not the having influence that's the problem. It's how you gain it. Right?
That's it's not having influence. It's the problem. It's how you gain it. All right. So let me just Tola. I'll let her go, and then I got to give my next point, and then next thing I want to say, and then we'll I'll get other questions. All right, Tola.
Yeah. Can't a man give the invention?
Can a man invention? Give what?
Gifts can be virtue.
Virtue, yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Can be a virtue. Okay, so let me just show what I say a couple things, and then I'll give you a chance for you to ask more questions. Okay, I want to get through this point because we've got lots more. Okay, so a gift equals a monetary contribution, like lobbying. Okay, so there are lobbyists in we hear about them in the States and their politics. We have lobbyists in Canada too. They will set up foundations. They will try to influence public affairs. They will donate money to that cause. They, you know, like there's Greenpeace is a lobbying group. Okay, I don't agree with all almost anything they say, but they are a lobbying group. They have a legitimate right to use their money to try to influence policy. Now, if they are going to pass money under the table to a politician so that that politician will vote their way, that's a bribe. But trying to gain influence, that's wise. Okay? That's what Proverbs is saying in these two contrasting statements. All right, so let me just finish. I got a couple more. All right, so there's the first proverb talks, it can be construed as something not immoral, but wise. And so if it's why, if you're doing this in the right way, you're not perverting justice. You're not doing evil. So Kidner makes these statements. You have to be good to be wise. His point is that in Proverbs, the premise is to be wise, you have to be good. And then he takes it and changes it a little bit. He says, you have to be wise to be really good. He means morally good. In other words, you need to take in the teaching of Proverbs and gain wisdom and live according to that wisdom to really be morally good, is his thesis. And then he says, you have to be godly to be wise. Okay? So that's the difference. We can see the problem with the person who's handing money under the table, giving a bribe, or other favors, like could be land or whatever. But he's doing something to advantage that person in order to gain influence. Whereas if he is saying, look, I want to create a public foundation, I want to influence policy, I've got my ideas I want to put forward, and trying to get, promote those ideas and doing it in a honest way, that's legitimate. Okay, that's wisdom. And so that contrast brings us to, here's our point here, is wisdom prudence or morality? So one way could be just simply a prudent way of doing business. The other way is morality. And Proverbs is opting, what Kidner is saying is Proverbs is opting towards morality. The wisdom of Proverbs is not simply this is a good way of getting things done. It's moral. He wants you to think rightly. Okay, Debbie.
Can you just repeat those three things? Like you have to be good and wise.
You have to be good to be wise. You've got to be wise to be really good. Mm-hmm. And you have to be godly to be wise. Okay. All right, Lee.
There's a couple things. Yeah, you kind of get into this pragmatic approach to things too.
Right, is it? Yeah, pragmatism is what prudence is.
Yeah.
Okay, pragmatism, as somebody, my professor said, the trouble with pragmatism is it works. Okay? You think about that? Pragmatism is a philosophy of whatever works is good. Okay?
But it's not like a general situation, like maybe it's a real world situation, I'd be curious. One of my friends works for a major company. He's a rep.
Okay.
And he essentially just wines and dines doctors to promote his product. There's nothing illegal there, but is that like immoral?
Yeah, that's a good question. So is that immoral?
Because he doesn't, like some of these drugs, sure, had knowingly done harm, but he was not aware of that, and that wasn't disclosed to him. That was found out later.
Yeah.
But some of them have also done some good as well.
Yeah.
So
there's a lot, there's a lot of things that go on in, is he a sales rep?
Or? Essentially. Yeah.
Essentially a sales rep. Okay, so sales reps, they have a reputation for a reason. Right?
Yeah, I've had these kind of arguments with them before.
So right. So say, like sales is a place where honesty is not always in large supply.
Okay.
And I haven't seen in, you know, like I did sales for years and years and I love sales, but it is, there are a lot of ethical dilemmas. And I think that sometimes the way people do things are, it may be prudent and it may get things done, but is it right? Okay. Is it an upfront, say we're trying to sell, you're selling some kind of hospital equipment to a hospital. And you tell the people, okay, I'm a representative of this company, I want to take all of the, you know, you make an announcement, I want to take all the people out to dinner, we're trying to promote our product, we just want to have an opportunity, have a meal with them, and we'll do a presentation while they're there. Okay? So that's up front, it's out there, everybody can see, nobody can, you're not saying, I'm going to give you a personal benefit if you are the approving person. But when, like, let's say, and on the other hand, rather than do that, he goes in and says to the administrator, finds out who's the decision maker, and say, look, I really want to thank you for your business. Let me take you out to, you know, whatever, top restaurant in town, and let's have a good evening, and bring your wife, and whatever. That's getting into the Proverbs 17:23, right? Where it's like, you're trying to manipulate that one guy. One way is influence, the other way is bribing. Okay, but let's move on because we have, three or four more points, I think. And this one, okay. No, we got more verses. Okay. So I got these two blanks here, okay, so. Alright. Who can say, I have cleansed my heart, I am pure from my sin? So, what quality, spiritual quality is this proverb addressing? Self-righteousness? There is, he's saying, that is true. Somebody can boast, I am pure from my sin. But what is the actual proverb saying?
He's saying everyone.
We're all sinful.
Pardon me?
We're all sinful.
We're all sinful, yes. So that's reflecting a personal self-view of what?
Humility.
Humility. Who can say this? Who can say, I have cleansed my heart? Nobody can say that. Alright, so the word we're looking for here, wisdom equals humility. Now, in Kidner's notes, he refers to the writing, a Sumerian prayer to a god. He calls it their servile uneasiness. Here's the prayer. God, known or unknown, my transgressions are many. The transgression I have committed, I know not. Whether one does wrong or right, one knows not. So what is he saying? God, if you're there, I have many transgressions. I don't even know how many. But Whether they're right or wrong, I don't even know. He's sort of trying to ingratiate himself with God, but he's not saying he's wrong. Whereas the proverb says here, who can say I've cleansed my heart? And who of us can? Who of us can say, I'm perfect? That's essentially what this proverb is saying. None of us can. That's humility. Wisdom equals humility. All right? So next one. We still haven't got the top of this. We're just working our way through this outline. Okay? Deliver those who are being taken away to death, and those who are staggering to slaughter. Oh, hold them back. If you say, see, we did not know this, does he not consider it who weighs the hearts? Does he not know it who keeps your soul? And will he not render to man according to his work? Okay, so what is the proverb writer expressing in this passage about his wisdom? Maureen?
God is watching
him. And so he needs to live in keeping with that. All right? And I'll give you the point here. I'm not going to make you read my mind. Wisdom equals accountability to God. Okay? I think I've got two more under this category. And we'll give you the final reveal there. Okay?
Excuse me. Just go back to that slide.
Sure. Just a second. Come on. There we go.
So, and he will not render to man according to his work?
Well, yes.
I thought we didn't need to work for
it. We don't work for salvation. In the Old Testament, we're talking about if somebody, God says, if you do evil, you'll be paid, you'll be repaid for evil. And in fact, for everyone who is not in Christ, they will be repaid for the deeds they have done. Okay? But if you're in Christ, then your evil deeds are taken care of. They're forgiven. Okay.
But you could also say, like, even as a Christian, God chastises
us. God will chastise us for things we do wrong, but in Christ we are redeemed. We are not condemned for our sins. Okay? You still have a questioning look, so I want to make sure you understand what we're saying. You want to think about that and come back with another question later? Okay. All right, because it's funny because people ask me a question and I'll answer it the way I understand it. And it makes total sense to me, but it may not make sense to you. Okay? Lee.
Is it that, like, unsaved punish for their deeds, but the righteous are rewarded for their works? Kind of thing?
Not exactly. Not exactly. I mean, we are all accountable to God, but what the proverb is saying in wisdom, you know, I guess we could say, for example, in Hebrews 13, it says, God, those whom God loves, He chastens. So if we don't live for God, He is quite ready to chasten us, to discipline us, as a father disciplines his sons. Doesn't make us not sons, it just makes us disciplined. Okay, So, we were talking earlier about those Christians who say, oh, I can do, or so-called Christians, who say, now I have liberty, I can do anything I want. But no, that's not what the Bible says. God watches us, and He does bring us to account. Debbie?
Well, Solomon, he is writing from the context of what we would call Old Testament law,
yes.
Which was, you do good, I'll bless you do bad, I'll curse you.
That's right.
God said that over and over
right.
And over again.
Okay, so in the Old Testament, we are thinking, in some ways, when we read the Proverbs, we're thinking outside of the New Testament. So that's something else to keep in mind. Okay, I want to move on. We've only got 15 minutes, and I'm not even halfway through. Okay. So, here's three Proverbs. He who turns away his ear from listening to the law, even his prayer, is an abomination. And the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. And then the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. How much more when he brings it with evil intent? Okay, so any comments on these three?
Sounds like a can of worms. Don't put jeopardy.
Sorry?
I said don't put jeopardy.
Double jeopardy. Okay, let's see. Chrissy had something to say.
Talking to Saul and have the Lord as much delight in
sacrifices as in obedience.
That's right, okay. Remembering Samuel's statement to Saul. Anybody else have a comment?
The plowing of the wicked is sin.
Plowing of the wicked is sin, okay. All right, so I'll give you the statement here. Wisdom cannot evade responsibility. So the idea is, God, it's very similar to the previous one. God does hold men accountable for what they do. So wisdom in Proverbs, it does not, there is a responsibility to follow God, and so there is, this is what wisdom teaches us. You cannot evade responsibility. You have to, true wisdom, this is the way wisdom looks at life. There are things we are accountable to God in those things. Okay, Rob.
I guess again the second one there, Proverbs 15:8.
Yeah.
If we look at it in the context of the Old Testament, the sacrifice to the Lord is like a sweet savor.
Yes.
But if you're a non-believer and you're going to sacrifice just because you have an obligation to,
yeah,
God, then it means nothing to.
That's right. That's right. So the person who's making the offerings, he has a responsibility to offer with a sincere heart. But he's not. And wisdom is saying, no, it doesn't do you any good.
Can't bribe God.
Can't bribe God. All right, Christy.
I also just think of Cain versus Abel.
Right, Cain versus Abel. That's right. Okay. All right, so let's move on to letter D. And I just have one proverb here. He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. So what spiritual thing does this wisdom tell us? Pardon me?
Transparency.
Okay, other words?
Honesty.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear you, Toe.
We should be open-minded to God.
Okay, so we're open-minded to God. Okay, Carrie.
Confession.
All right, he gets the star this time. That was the word I was looking for. Okay, repentance and confession. Wisdom requires repentance and confession. Okay, so we find this in Proverbs. Okay, and so let's see, the whole category. Okay, so true wisdom has, well, what have we been talking about in this section? Well, we've been talking about a sense of sin. So true wisdom has a sense of sin. The first one, we talked about prudence and morality. There is in wisdom, it's not just merely prudence. There is a moral, moral insistence in the Proverbs of Solomon. And true wisdom has a sense of sin. We have this all throughout as we go through Proverbs. We're constantly being confronted with our weakness and our sin. Okay? Now, let's see. I want to see if we can... This point, the blanks here are not ones you're going to get. I'll give them to you when we get there. Okay, so we have just a point here to start with. This concept is seen in the Proverbs that mention God, about 100 of them. All but 12 of them use YHWH. We pronounce that Yahweh or Jehovah, the covenant name of God. All right? So what does that name assume? That name of God, Jehovah, Yahweh, knowing your Old Testament history, what does that name assume?
Jehovah.
Where was it first really emphasized? Okay, I am. What was that? The burning bush. Okay, the burning bush. And what is God saying to Moses when he reveals himself as I am that I am?
Self-existence.
Self-existence, but he is... Pardon?
Eternal.
Well, you're not going the way I want you to go. Okay, Rob.
The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but he is about to make what with the people of Israel? He's about to make a covenant which involves a personal relationship. Okay? So the name of God implies a relationship. Okay? Now that's a little bit, see, some of these things are a little hard to, when you read it on a page, the commentator's talking about it, you say, oh yeah, I get that. It's a little hard to draw it out just from the few clues I give you. So I'm not faulting anybody for not getting gold stars. Okay? Right? But there is a relationship here. Relationship with God is a big deal in Proverbs. All right, so the next one is the very famous verse, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Now, this statement in various forms is found 16 times in the book of Proverbs. Okay, so what does this... Oh dear, something happened here and I do not have... I've lost what I was going to... I don't have it here in my slide. It's not going to show up. I don't even remember what I put on. I meant to put in my notes. What does the next blank say?
Fear the Lord,
more than blank, blank. More than blank, blank. Hmm. Oh, okay. Here we go. I've got it here in my notes. Okay, I found it. Okay. All right, so what is the fear of the Lord more than blank, blank? Okay, what is the blank, blank? See if you can think, figure this out. What do you think the fear of the Lord is? Christy?
Well, is it more than wisdom and instruction?
No, that's not exactly the direction I'm going with this. Anybody else want to take a quick stab at that? When you're fearing God, are you cowering?
Yeah, no.
No? What is the term we use?
Boldness.
I'm sorry.
Boldness,
okay.
Reverence.
Reverence, that's another term. Marlena, what were you? Are you going to say reverence?
Submission?
Okay, alright, so those words are hitting around it. The term is more than simply healthy respect. Okay, there's a reverencing. I'm sorry that, you know, I was making this. I was trying to be so careful, but this one is very complicated. I have a whole lot of things to put in here, so I messed up. Oh, maybe it's because I was going to go to these next verses. I don't know. I don't even know what I'm doing. Okay, so then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So this fear of the Lord, what is it synonymous with here?
Wisdom.
It is synonymous with wisdom, but that's not the phrase I was looking for.
Knowledge,
okay? Knowledge of God. Alright, and I have another one that goes under this category. I see what I was doing now. I just confused myself. I managed to confuse myself, which is not that hard to do. Okay, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So where does this wisdom come from? It says it comes from his mouth. What do we call that?
The word of God.
The word of God, or another term?
Inspiration.
Inspiration or revelation. Okay, it comes from God. So wisdom is a revelation from God. In that sense, we can accept, even though we were going back in the beginning of the discussion, we said the book of Proverbs, if it's collected, it's similar to other books. So what makes it different? Well, it is given to us by God through Solomon. So it is, in that sense, his revelation. All right, and so then one last one in this category. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. How do we get this wisdom? Trusting in God. We are putting forth a personal investment to know Him and to follow Him. So then we get fear of the Lord is more than healthy respect. Okay? All of those are connected underneath that one, and I confuse myself in trying to just deal with the first verse. Okay. All right. So we're going to rush here. Trying to rush. How many do I have under this one? I'm doing the same thing with this one. So let's not try to get ahead of ourselves. Let's just read the verses. I'll just plug them in and you think about the verses as we come along. And we're talking about the relationship. When we're talking about here about wisdom, we're talking about the relationship we have to God's revelation, to His Word. Alright? So, it's more than healthy respect. So, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. We already had that one. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Alright, so this is talking about how we relate to true wisdom. Let's look at the next two. Prepare plans by consultation and make war by wise guidance. Okay? Many plans are in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord will stand. Okay, so what are we... When we talk about... our relationship to God and His revelation and the wisdom that He gives us, how would we characterize that relationship? In the Old Testament context, we have all those laws. But wisdom is thinking about those laws and applying them to life. So, how are we relating to God with respect to wisdom and to these things that He says to us in relation to His commands and so forth? Okay, I'll stop talking. Colin's going to try.
We can't just know what God's Word says, we have to apply it.
Okay, so we have to apply God's Word. Okay, so what else could you say about it? Pardon me?
Not just common sense.
Not just common sense, okay? So if it's not just common sense, what are we doing with God's Word?
Meditating
on it, all right? I thought, Stefan?
Obedience,
okay?
Or walking
in it, okay, Christy?
It's not just a set of rules.
Not just a set of rules. I mean, obedience does imply a set of rules, but it's more than just a set of rules.
Wanting to obey from the heart.
Wanting to obey from the heart. Okay, so that's enough guessing. More than obedience, wisdom calls for trust. Okay, so it's not simply following rules for rules' sake, but following wisdom, true wisdom, biblical wisdom, means trusting what God says. We're not leaning on our own understanding. We're trusting Him. All right, let's see. I've got one more. We're almost done. Let's quickly get this last bit. Okay, so I've got two Proverbs. I'm going to put them all up. To do righteousness and justice is desired by the Lord more than sacrifice. Those who forsake the law praise the wicked, but those who keep the law strive with them. Where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. All right. Now in this one, basically, what are the things that we see that are related to Israelite Old Testament religion in these verses? Sacrifice. What else? The law, okay? Alright, so that's pretty well everything. So let me just give you what this one is. Wisdom speaks in terms of Israelite religion. So that's not one you're just going to derive from that, but I want you to notice that often in the Proverbs, he's talking about those things related to Israelite worship. Sacrifices, offerings, the law. And we see those repeated. These are just a few examples. These are repeated many times in Proverbs. Alright, Lee, go ahead.
So, if these ones are from Solomon, he references the law. So he would have, the information from Exodus and Deuteronomy and stuff. And he is probably the wisest in history, human wisdom. Yet, he doesn't sort of follow his own advice.
Yes.
So,
that is one of the problems that we have with Solomon.
Yeah.
I was just reading that passage recently, and I noticed that it was when he was old, his many wives led him astray. So personal relationships are a very big problem. Now, obviously, he was very unwise in multiplying wives like he did.
Yeah, it was almost like a pragmatic approach to establishing that kingdom.
Yeah. There are things that, men are... It's funny that the thing that he asked most and God gave to him, wisdom, but it's that even so, we're not immune from pride, even though we have much wisdom. All right, Maureen?
So would you say that true wisdom is more, because even Solomon had it, it's more really, if you have an awe of God or a sense of who God is, you're motivated to, you believe that he exists, so you're thinking about living your life in the sense that there is an eternal, powerful God watching over your actions.
Right, right. So, if you have a sense that there's really a God, the wise course of life is to live your life in keeping with His revelation. So this whole point, relationship with God, is more than moralistic theism. Moralistic theism is the idea that, there's a God out there who makes rules for me, and I live by those rules. And people say, I live by the golden rule. That's not enough. Okay. That's not enough. So You need to have this relationship with God. So that's what we've been touching on with these points. All right, so I want to go, I do have one last thing I'm going to put. This is, I've got two quotes here from Kidner. So this is not, we're not deriving this. I'm just going to give you the two quotes, and then I'm going to give you the point. Okay, the explicit religious material to be has to be, this is an admission by Kidner. In picking out passages like these, the explicitly religious material has to be handpicked from a large mass of sayings in which religion is only implicit. So you're reading through Proverbs. There are many Proverbs that you could take out and say, okay, this does not have to be religious. So he's making that point. However, he goes on to say, and we should do Proverbs a poor service if we contrive to vest it in a priestly ephod or a prophet's mantle, for it is a book which seldom takes you to church. Like its own figure of wisdom, it calls across to you in the street about some everyday matter or points out things at home. Its function in Scripture is to put godliness in working clothes. See, this is why I like Kidner. He has this way of saying things. It's to put godliness in working clothes, to name business and society as spheres in which we are to acquit ourselves with credit to our Lord and in which we are to look for His training. And so wisdom equals religion with its working clothes on. That's the last point. So, yes, they have to do their things. If you just take it out of the context of Proverbs, pretty well anyone could agree with, even if they're not Christian. But the context of Proverbs is religious, and it is putting religion to work in the day-to-day life. That's the idea of the book of Proverbs. All right. We are 5 minutes past, so any very quick last comments? Christy?
You're breaking your own rules.
Why am I doing that?
Using so much scripture.
All right. Okay, go ahead. Lee, were you going to say something? I started.
Yeah, a hostile reader might even go further and ask whether the real God and Master is the in this book. It's not man himself.
Right.
The real goal is prosperity. But also, you look at, like, prosperity also has, well, like, God should promise that. Like,
yes.
But it also has this horribly corrupting influence.
Yes. That's right. And that's what wisdom, Proverbs addresses that.
Yeah.
Gives us wisdom about that. So, yes. Okay, so let's have a word of prayer and we'll close. Father, we thank You for this time today. Lord, we pray that You will help us as we understand Proverbs, as we start thinking about how it works in our lives, so that we can put wisdom in practice in our day-to-day activities. Lord, there's so many things we're confronted with. We need Your wisdom. Help us to walk with You in Jesus' name. Amen.